Let me just make sure to
recorded live.
Hi, everybody. This is Judy Seeger, trained traditional naturopathic physician, welcoming you to another week. It's been a little bit rough here, folks. We're already 10 minutes into the show, and we've had a few technical challenges, but everybody has hung in there, so it's great. I'm welcoming you, those who are listening to this recording. It is August 2nd, 2012. It is our 16th Cancer Winner Talk Show, and I am so excited because there's so many things happening in the alternative medicine field connected with cancer. And tonight we have a very, very special guest, our second international guest calling from Western Australia. We have, and she's going to share her story of what she went through and how she healed her cancer. So we have just a lot of exciting things going on. So first of all, let me tell you the big exciting news is that we are launching our online TV show called CancerAnswers.tv. Cancer Answers has been in the making for the last 2 years. I have been working very, very hard getting this out there to you guys. It will be a weekly TV show with world-renowned healers who will be on there. I already have 45 people who will be on this TV show. These are people who are in the industry, who know how to heal cancer, who deal with it in many, many aspects on many, many levels with all kinds of cancer, and they're gracious enough to be on the show. So that's coming up. Mark your calendars, August 22nd. It will be in your email. You just have to be on the email list, so do spread the word. So, Debbie, if you could just put on there the website, www.cancercleansecamp.com. There is, for the guests, there is a little box at the bottom that you could type different things in, and then you'll be able to ask questions and see what we're talking about and whatnot. So that TV show will be starting up, like I say, August 22nd, and the very first guest, just so you guys know, is Bill Henderson. Bill Henderson has been wonderful to me the last few years. He wrote the book Beating Cancer Gently, and he will be helping us launch this TV show and getting the word out. So I'm very, very excited. Then the other big news is that somebody I met at the New York conference called Staying Alive, Wade Lightheart, is a world-renowned motivational speaker. He has just told me today he is launching a huge, huge project where he's pulling all the experts in alternative medicine, not just from cancer, but every aspect of health and wellness. And that's exciting. He's, if you guys get a chance to look him up, Debbie, if you could write his name on there, Wade Lightheart, he has got a program called AWESOME, is an acronym, AWESOME, A-W-E-S-O-M-E, and it all stands for something. Phenomenal guy. Love this man. He just really has a heart to get the alternative medicine. And he's up there for my Ontario guest who's on there. He's up there in British Columbia. So he is, of course, world-renowned, but that's his home base. And so that's very cool. So exciting, exciting things happening in alternative medicine. It's about time. I've been in this 34 years. And very, very frustrated at times because I've been wanting to get the word out and helping you guys get the truth about healing, and the media has squashed it due to the pharmaceutical industry. No, this is not a political show, but it is certainly an issue that you need to be well aware of. The pharmaceutical industry and the health insurance companies are very much wanting to squash the truth and keep the truth from you guys and not letting you know how to truly heal cancer. So that's what this is all about, the radio show, the TV show, all these websites, all this stuff that we're doing. And so I'm really tickled about having Gemma Bond on the show tonight because she's going to tell you not only her story, but I also want her to share or have you guys listen how it is in Australia. You know, you think it's only a problem in the United States or Canada. I'm like, no, this is really a problem worldwide. There's governments all over the world that are truly not wanting to help us to heal. They just want to keep dispensing the traditional chemo radiation and do surgery, and that's it. And they don't want to help us with anything else. So let's get started, and let's get your perspective, your story, and tell us, as an overview, Gemma, tell us what type of cancer you had and how things evolved, and give us your rundown of, and we're, of course, we're all going to enjoy your accent, so you could talk the whole show. We're just going to have a lot of fun listening to you. But give us an overview of your story, Gemma.
Okay, well, I'll give you a brief overview. In 2011, I was reading my local newspaper, and it happened to be Ovarian Cancer Week in Australia. I don't know if it's the same worldwide. And I was reading a woman's story, and she said that all the symptoms she had had, and she let go because she thought it was purely the beginnings of menopause. And I read that once, and then I read it again. And for the past, I suppose, 9 months, I had been doing the same thing. You know, I had been getting irregular bleeding. I'm a thin person, but I had started feeling, fat around my waist, and I put all these things down to, oh, I must be getting into menopause. I put it down to menopause. And what she had said in her testimonial was, if only she had gone to the doctor earlier, maybe she wouldn't be in a terminal state. And so, I don't know, was I being guided? I think I was. I went straight over to my phone and I rang my doctor and I made an appointment to have 2 tests, which I knew about. The CA125, which is a blood test, which gives an indication of whether you've got ovarian cancer. And I booked, I asked the doctor when I saw her for, I wanted to go and see a radiologist to have a transvaginal ultrasound. And she gave me those 2 requests. I went off and had them. Mind you, never thinking I actually did have cancer because I believed I'd led a very, very healthy life. And within a week, it came back that, yes, she needed to see me. And it turned out that I had not only ovarian cancer, but uterine cancer. But there was a strange thing, Judy. All the while, the doctor was telling me about these cancers. And this is the truth. Even though I was blown away that I had cancer, the only thing that was going on in my mind was, I'm not having chemo or radiation. And when she took a pause, that was the first thing I said to her, well, I'm not having chemo. And she said to me, if that's the case, then you need to stand your ground and you need to be strong. And how right she was.
Wow, so the doctor told you that.
Yes, yes.
See, now, and I want you to just pause here just for a second. I appreciate you sharing the beginning of the story. And so the doctor knew what you were going to be up against. And so she was already warning you, telling you. So this is in Australia, okay? And the reason I'm pausing here is because here in the United States, I get those kind of calls all the time. People tell me, how their doctor puts a lot of pressure on them to do the chemo, radiation, and surgery. And so why do you think that is, Gemma?
Oh, completely, because the doctor's hands are tied. I mean, she had already booked me in to have surgery before I even saw her, to see an oncologist, to see the surgeon, to have a CAT scan. But when she was looking at me and she was saying, you need to be strong, all her body language was saying, I agree with you, but there is no way I can tell you that.
Because
their hands are tied. It's in Australia, they are not allowed to tell you about anything alternative. Even when I go and have vitamin C infusions with doctors, when I have ozone treatment, they can tell you that these things are good to help, you know, with the chemo, with the radiation. They know that I wasn't having them, but there is no way that they will come out and say, you've made the right decision, because they can get their licenses revoked. they know that they have.
Okay, right there. That's exactly because I have friends who've had their license revoked. They have been harassed. They have had their offices shut down. It's very real, folks. I mean, this is all over the world, and now you're hearing it straight from Australia. It's the same problem, and so it's a worldwide problem. That's why I say cancer is truly epidemic. It is very real, and we have to be aggressive to know what can be done. All right, I understand the whole doctor thing, and I don't want to make this into a political show because we really could go off on that. Yeah, we want to give the people the answers of what it takes to heal. So you were sitting there in the doctor's office, and you knew you were going to go through a battle, and then what happened?
Well, then it was a whirlwind of actually, within a week of my diagnosis, having a hysterectomy. I did go for surgery, possibly because I didn't know as much as I know now. I do have some regret about that, but part of the healing process is not to have regrets. So I tried to let that go and think, well, I'm here, I'm healthy, I'm happy, I'm happier than I've ever been, so something must be working. There is one thing I would say about the surgery. I did plead with my surgeon that could I have a keyhole, could I have laparoscopic surgery, because I knew that once you open someone up, your chances of spreading the cancer are much greater. I didn't probably know how important that was. And he said to me, oh, darling, oh, we never do that for cancer. Never. It's way too tricky. And I said, but isn't opening someone up and exposing the cancers to the air, isn't that tricky? And he said, yes, but I'm not doing keyhole.
Because I know some people don't understand, you know, what that is. What were you asking him specifically to do?
I was asking him not to completely open me up, to put a tiny tube down. I think I'm not very scientific, so I can't explain it, but I knew that keyhole surgery was much more invasive. Basically, they have a camera, I think. They have a small tube. Like, I have got the tiniest little scars. I mean, you can't even see them. Mm-hmm. That's how small they are. And they put a small tube down. From what I could understand, he had a microscope, and he looked, and he actually decided to do it. But he never told me. And it took an extra 2 hours. And see, mostly doctors don't want to do that. 2 hours is another operation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was very kind of him. So they did a complete hysterectomy?
Yes, laparoscopically.
Okay. All right. So then they did that. And then what happened?
And then all hell broke loose, to be honest. It was a love-hate relationship with me and the oncologist who'd done the surgery. Basically, I remember him coming in at 10:30 at night and saying he'd been to the labs, he'd personally looked at the tumour, and there were very deadly type of cancer, and I had to think very, very long and hard at what I was going to do. And I said I would, but it wouldn't be chemo or radiation. So then the next day, he came back with a number of medicos, and he asked me to explain to them why I wouldn't have it. So I explained my reasons, said it didn't work. I'd watched my brother die of cancer in his 30s, having all the conventional treatment, and I'd vowed I'd never do that for myself. And he walked out. He said, we don't need to listen to this. But then he'd come back and be nice to me, and I have to say, he did listen to me. He did do the keyhole surgery. So we did have these all-out arguments, but then we had nice times as well. So, I mean, sadly, he's dead. He got cancer and died within 10 days.
He got cancer?
Yes. He had liver cancer. He never told anybody. I don't know if he knew it. But from 10 days from telling people, from 10 days from diagnosis, there was 10 days, from diagnosis to death.
And did he do chemo?
No. Nobody knew he had cancer until 10 days before he died.
He didn't do any treatment. He didn't do anything.
Nothing. He went and visited his family in his children in England and America. And basically, I heard that he had cancer. And 10 days later, he was dead.
Wow, isn't that interesting? Because I have friends who are doctors who really are brainwashed to believe that chemo and radiation and surgery are the way to go. They really do believe that. And then others that will go off somewhere else to do some alternative therapies. And then like this guy who just didn't want to do anything and went in complete denial and didn't deal with it. Wow, that's really sad.
I was reading something the other day, and it said every year in the USA, more than 1,000 oncologists are diagnosed with cancer, but less than 10% choose their own treatments.
Yeah, I've heard that too, but I have not had it confirmed.
Confirmed, yeah.
Because I know that a lot of them do go off and, you know, do go to the Mexican clinics and whatnot, because when I had a clinic in San Diego, you know, the doctors would tell me, yeah, you know, there's this doctor who's coming in, and they, you know, they come on with their hat and their sunglasses and incognito.
Yeah.
So nobody knows they're coming in, but it's, you know, you can't get really those numbers confirmed because it's very secretive.
No. I would say, though, my daughter has had emails from doctors in Australia saying, you would not believe how many oncologists I'm treating alternatively.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. See?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's finding out. Wow, that's something, right?
And I suppose the take-home lesson from that is that we should remember that it's very limiting and disempowering to the person with cancer if they will only believe that their only way of getting better is to follow their oncologist's advice. If we see them as demigods and not humans, then we're lessening our chance, I believe, of healing.
Because that's really powerful. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're absolutely right that you are taking power away from yourself. Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah. And we can spend our time searching, can you cure me? Can this person help me? And we don't stop to think, you know, I read recently, or not so recently actually, it was a beautiful book, but I can't remember the name of it. I think it was called The Healing Journey. And it was by a guy who'd had cancer himself. And he had a really little powerful thing that he said. He said, you know, sit quietly with your cancer and ask it why it has come. And then ask it what you need to do to get it to leave. And I did that. I sat quietly with my cancer, and I thought, why have you come? Because I had led such a healthy physical life. I'd exercised, I'd eaten organic, I'd fed my children what I thought was great, healthy food. And the answer really screamed back at me. You have no joy in your life. You'd had this really, really big to-do list, but where was your joy? You'd looked after your physical health, but you'd really neglected your emotional health. And so that has become the thing that I have worked on most in my healing, my emotional health rather than my physical health. But I have tweaked that as well.
Yeah, hold on, because this is the part that, and folks, I didn't pay her to say this, but this is the part I always focus on in my shows, and here you are bringing up first thing, and that's exactly right, Gemma. It is a huge part in healing, and nobody's addressing this. Okay, so let me just go back a step, because I want to make sure we're filling in a couple of gaps here. So when you got out of the... because you're going right to the core, and I want to just make sure we lay the foundation down. When you had the surgery and you came out, were you feeling strong or were you feeling weak when you came out?
I mean, I was feeling both. You know, it went from day to day in the weeks that followed. I mean, my saving grace with all my children, because they were all positive, but Laura, who started writing the blog, Mum's Not Having Chemo, she's a doer. We've been very close, and we've all both been into health. She came out, and she just goes, right. She got on the net, and she just kept saying, Mum, you are following the right path, which, you know, I knew, but it was just wonderful to have someone there going, this is what we're going to do. She got on the phone. She talked to all experts. She used, being a journalist, you know, she got interviews with some great people in America. She ordered me so much stuff that when I was going to appointments, I had great stuff to listen to. I highly recommend people listen to Carolyn Mace, surname's M-Y-S-S, but she pronounces it Mace, American. She just helped me so much work through, you know, from listening to her audios in the car, what was going on. She's no nonsense. There's no crap. She gets to the point. And Laura had found her and ordered me the audios, and I listened to those. And, yeah, it was really Laura decided what supplements she thought. We looked at it together, and she'd go, what do you think about that? And I go, oh, that seems a bit harsh for me. I don't think I want that. And then, you know, I talked to a few people, and you know, one of the things that stood out on the physical side was no more dairy. And so reluctantly, I gave up dairy, and I started to feel so good, just so good. I missed it, but I felt great, so I kept with that one. But then Dr. Gonzalez and a few of the doctors she interviewed said, your mother must become vegan. And you know what? Intuitively, it just did not sit right with me because I love animals so much and I love our planet. And I tried on so many occasions to be vegetarian, and I always felt really unwell. So I didn't do that. Instead, I looked to get antibiotic and hormone-free meat that was grass-fed. And I don't eat as much of it, but I try to go for quality that's
right.
Better for the planet and better for me.
Right. Okay, so that's very interesting. Gosh, you're bringing up so many great points. Let me just backtrack here a little bit. First of all, let me just, because we're halfway through the show already, for everybody to remember that you are on the live show of the Cancer Winner radio show, and you can ask questions. You could type it in. She's bringing up some great points here, people. I mean, just you got to pick this lady's brain. She's really on top of it. And the other thing is that to stay in the loop with me so that you know we're going to have the show on recorded and you'll be able to get that email, but you have to be in my email list, which is www.cancercleansecamp.com, and you can get on there and then sign up and then stay in my loop. Now, the other thing, Gemma, that I do want people to know is Laura's blog, because that's actually how I found you. I am constantly researching on the internet looking for people like you, and her blog was fantastic. And I read the story, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to get a hold of her, and she responded right away. She was very gracious. What is the name of her blog?
Well, it's called Mum, because in Australia we call our mother Mum, M-U-M, as opposed to M-O-M in America. So it's all one word, mumsnothavingchemo.com. That's all you have to put in.
Okay,
M-U-M-S.
Okay. Yeah, Debbie, if you could put that on there. Mum's not, what was it? Mum's not having chemo.
Yeah, mumsnothavingchemo.com.
Excellent. Okay, so put that in there, folks, and read that, because then you'll be able to see her story, of course, in detail, and see the blog, which was very, very well done. Excellent. And I just appreciate her putting that up there for you. And then you also mentioned this Carolyn Mace. Now, spell that last name again.
M-Y-S-S.
M-Y-S-S, Carolyn Mace.
Yes.
And she did what for you?
Carolyn Mace is an intuitive medic, and she has been for the last 30 years. And she is an inspirational speaker. She talks all over the world, and I just found her amazing. I can't get enough of her. Everything she says just resonates so well with me. And, you know, she made me look at things in my life that I hadn't addressed, things that were pretty hard, actually. You know, she talks about us having archetypes, you know, the wounded child, the victim, the martyr, the prostitute, which doesn't necessarily mean the prostitute as we know it, but hanging on to jobs that we don't like and things. And in the end, those things are going to make us sick.
Mm.
She also had something quite profound that she says that if we have low self-esteem or no self-esteem, then it is going to be much, much harder for us to recover from a serious illness. And it's going to be much more likely that we're going to be the person that may get a serious illness, that it's very important to address our self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And she has another
Did you talk to her personally?
No, we've tried, but she is so incredibly busy, incredibly busy. Laura's been to workshops in London that she did, and she just said she was amazing. She's written books as well.
Fantastic. Yeah. So when you were realizing that there were some issues there, did you make the connection that that's where the cancer had come from?
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt. I knew that that was the most important thing. And I set about bringing more joy into my life. I know. And see, I had a lovely life. I didn't really have a bad life at all. But I didn't have very good ways of dealing with stress. So I had to. I went and saw a therapist who was wonderful.
Yeah, wait a minute, Gemma. Now I'm confused. Wait a minute. You said you had a great life. You said you were eating well. Where was the stress coming from then?
It was my responses to everyday things that didn't work out. I mean, I suppose I could get a little bit personal and say, although my husband and I had separated like 12 years before, we had never done a divorce, we had never done a settlement, and to everybody, we still got on very well. He was the couple that, you know, separated, but wow, look, their children haven't had any problems. But you know what? Underlying that was that we hadn't moved on. Maybe I'd clung to not doing the divorce, not doing the settlement, because I didn't feel that I was good enough to cope on my own.
Mm.
You know, that was maybe the prostitute archetype. I was still looking to other people to look after me.
Mm-hmm.
And within the year, the same year that I got diagnosed with the cancer, I also got a divorce. I also got a settlement. And guess what? I felt fantastic. And my ex-husband and I get on better than we did before. I felt that, I found that, wow, I can do things on my own. So sometimes it's just chronic conflicts, unresolved emotional conflicts that need to be addressed.
Mm. Yeah, that's for sure. And that you hit it right on the head. Is when you look at the conflict and you understand what needs to be done and you deal with it, then the body reacts to that, because it actually goes from an acid state when you are in a negative, downtrodden, emotionally depressed state to an alkaline. And of course, cancer likes to live in an acid state. So when you're browbeating yourself and not dealing with stuff and whatnot, that's exactly what happens. So you changed your whole acid-alkaline balance. So it wasn't the food so much. It was really this whole emotional state that you took control of. Emma? Hello? Hello?
I think she might have gotten disconnected.
Okay, can you, we're having a little trouble with Australia. Can you give her a jingle and tell her to get back on?
Yes, give me just one moment.
Okay, sure. Yeah, and I noticed that you guys, God, this is a good show, right, guys? This is like really, she's really getting into the, I mean, you know, she's just not even messing around. She just goes right to the heart of the problem. I like that. All right, so we've got a couple of questions. I'm watching you guys, and I definitely want to deal with it. How does she actually do it? It sounds like this Carolyn Meese, I'll get Debbie to type that in. I've never heard of her, but see, that's international stuff. I haven't heard those type people, but I'll get to find out Carolyn Meese and her website and whatnot, and if she's got audio or DVD or whatever, it'd be a great thing to look at or listen to and find out what she's all about, because that's all she did. Isn't that interesting? She just listened to Carolyn Meese. She never met the woman. She never had a counseling session with her. She didn't go through all that stuff. She just listened to Carolyn Meese on, I think she said audio, right? And then she took off. There, Carolyn Meese.
Yeah, I'm Judy. I'm here.
There you go. Hi, Judy. Gemma. Thanks for popping back on. Okay. We might go in and out, but you did good. You got back on, so that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I was just saying a little bit about this Carolyn Meese. You don't know her website by any chance, do you? Or how people could order the audios? Okay, well, I can ask Laura, too. It's not a problem.
If you just Google Caroline's name, Caroline Meese, it will come up.
Okay, wonderful. All right, we have a couple of questions for you, Gemma, so hold on. I just want to address those. One guest has asked, how did you go about bringing the joy into your life?
Okay, well, one of the first things I did to bring more joy into my life was not have such a big to-do list. I had made sure I exercised every day, and I know exercise is important for cancer, but it put me on this, I exercise 5 times a week, and then on the weekend I tried to spend time with my partner, but then some days I'd do 2 lots of exercise to make up for the weekend, and I changed my sort of exercise. I realized that maybe I had a nature deficiency because I started reading about how good vitamin D is for healing cancer. And I'd had a blood test, and I had almost none in my body, thinking that avoiding the sun, our harsh Australian sun, was a great thing. So I started walking in nature, and I started doing things more slowly. And I realized that nature is very powerful at healing, you know.
Yeah. And Australia is a beautiful, beautiful country. So there's plenty to see there and plenty to get out. That's fantastic. So you you got rid of your to-do list. You exercised out in nature more, and of course, then the sun was very healing on you. And just being around the trees and the outdoor environment is truly healing. You're right. But then, how did you deal with? Did you just listen to the audios, or how did you deal with not having the joy? As far as because a lot of times I hear the people who call me with cancer, they have blockages. I mean, how did you get rid of some of those blockages?
Well, I don't know if this will resonate with a lot of people, but prayer. I connected with spirit in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having grown up Catholic, prayer came easy to me. But I connected with guides, with angels. I asked them for help all the time. And believe it or not, I received it. I feel in many ways I've been guided. And, of course, then the blog, Laura's blog, took off, and I had a passion for finding out information. So when I was reading about cancer, it wasn't, oh, my God, cancer, the death sentence. It was cancer, the wake-up call. I got a passion. I got a passion for learning how we can heal from this cancer alternatively. So instead of seeing my cancer as an enemy, instead of seeing my body as a war zone, which I hadn't really anyway, but so often conventional medicine does, I started seeing it as, okay, where can I be peaceful with my body? Where can I really be in tune with intuitively what it is telling me? And I slowed down my life. And through Carolyn and through being with the therapist, when I saw that, you know, the old story was emerging, the negative thoughts, I started having 2 mantras. One was, if it was a negative situation, and I use it all the time and I love it, I just say to myself, it's not me, it's not mine, I surrender it to the universe. And I just say that over and over again. And if it's a person who's really, you know, getting to me, I just put my hands on my heart and I go, infinite love and gratitude, infinite love and gratitude. Because I've recognized that I can't let these old stories keep coming up. I can't let these negative emotions rob me of my energy. Because in the end, if we want to heal from our cancer, we need all the energy we can get. We need the chi, we need the life force. And if I'm letting it go because somebody's bugging me, then I'm not going to get better. And so I knew that I had to be proactive. I need to be onto this. I mean, Carolyn May said something else. She said, when we've got a serious illness, we cannot be nouns. We must be verbs. Verbs are doing words. We have to be proactive. If we really want to make choices, we can. If we really want to let go of something, we can choose to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want that cancer back. I didn't want to leave the earth yet. I want to have grandchildren. And now that I've found joy, I want to stay here and enjoy the joy.
There you go. All right. So I appreciate you going in detail on that. I know that a lot of people have been asking about therapies and what you've done for your immune system, and I know you certainly have done quite a few different things. So why don't you share with us a little bit about what you've done as far as that goes?
Okay. Well, obviously, emotional health. You're never going to get your immune system right if you're full of emotional toxicity, so that's number one. Getting lots of oxygen into your body, that to me is paramount for increasing your immune system. So exercise that doesn't overwhelm you but makes you feel great. I bought a little mini trampoline, and bouncing. Bouncing's great for improving the immune system. I also invested in an oxygen machine that makes its own oxygen, which is quite expensive, so I understand not everyone can afford to do these things, but the little mini trampoline's fairly cheap. And I bounce on the mini trampoline with the oxygen mask on, so I'm getting the oxygen from the machine, and I'm improving my immune system by the bouncing. I mean, just low, not high-impact bouncing, great for the immune system. And then I've done ozone treatment through my doctor, where they basically take out some of your blood and then supersize it with lots of oxygen and then put it back into your body to sort of bathe all the cells in oxygen. I did vitamin C infusions, which also helped with the oxygen and definitely helped with the healing from the hysterectomy. Something that people might not know is that, you know, before I got the cancer, I would literally smother my body in moisturizers, thinking I was doing the right thing, making my body soft. But you know what? That's exactly what I was doing. I was smothering my pores. And then I read somewhere that, you know, stop putting all that moisturizer on your body. Get a brush and dry brush your skin. Let your pores be open so that the air can come back and forth. And strangely enough, my skin's no drier than it was before. Sometimes, you know, if it is, I put on a little bit of chemical-free moisturizer. But getting lots of oxygen into your body is paramount. And, of course, that comes back to nature, being in nature. I mean, standing on the earth, you know, in your bare feet, you get lots of antioxidants from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people don't realize it's these simple things that make such a huge difference. Just out of curiosity, what kind of oxygen machine were you using?
Oh, I'm downstairs and it's upstairs. I can't quite remember the name, but I know that my one is not being made at the moment, but I'm sure if people put
No, I mean, is it like a pure oxygen machine or is it an oxygen concentrator?
Judy, I'm not sure. What I know is
okay.
I plug
That's
it in and I push it on and it makes its own oxygen and I just put the mask in. So it's just plugged in. It's not very...
Yeah, it's that simple because I know here you can get oxygen concentrators and I do that. I tell some of my clients to do that. Put it in and that's it. You're just breathing the oxygen and you're good to go. And you could buy those. I certainly offer refurbished ones, but you could get them online. Whatever, they're around, so not a problem. All right, so yeah, now you know because we're running. Well, I'm not sure, Debbie.
Yep.
Can you tell me if we could go over our hour just a few minutes, or we have to stop right on top of the hour?
I believe we can keep going. Yes, we should be
okay.
able to.
Okay, good. I just want to go just because there's a couple of things I want to go over here. And you got such great information, I don't want to cut in, but I do want to know as far as the balance between the emotions and the therapies. How could I say this? Were the therapies keeping you strong enough to work through the emotions, or were you doing everything all at the same time?
It's three-pronged as far as I'm concerned. You know, if you want to heal, the word healing, I think, you know, the word holistic anyway means healing. And, I mean, the problem is people want a quick fix. My daughter's always getting people emailing and saying, what's the one thing your mum did to get where she is today? Well, there isn't one thing. I tweaked the physical things. You know, I do coffee enemas religiously, and they make me feel fantastic. I went to see a doctor in Germany when I was over visiting my daughters. Laura lives in London. My other daughter lives in Paris. And I did a blood test called BioFocus. And it it showed where my cancer was at and what it was doing. But it also took the few circulating cancer cells that was there, and they were minimal. They were absolutely minimal, not far off what a normal person walking around would have. And they tried a whole lot of alternative things against these cells. And one thing that came up was something called Halen, which, I tell you, it's a drink, and I really don't like it. But boy, oh boy, have I felt great since I've been taking it. So
Wait, I didn't hear that that drink. What was the name of that drink again?
It's called Halen, H-A-E-L-E-N.
And that's only you could get that only in Australia?
No, I think I got it from America.
Oh, seriously? Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Because I know there's different things. And okay, so what was the purpose of the drink?
Well, because my sort of cancer is hormone driven. I mean, I'm not very big on soy at all, but fermented soy I'm fine with. You know, when it's fermented, I think it can be helpful. And this is actually fermented soy. But if you get on the Halen website, the results from the testimonials are pretty astounding for all sorts of cancers. But it's helped me along the way. And I mean, the blood test, really, the doctor said this is something that's, you know, really reacted to your cancer in a really good way. So I've sort of got the tangible evidence there that this is going to work. Whereas Rachel, B17, you know, intuitively, I got all the stuff, and it was a trek to get it. You know, it had to go through governments and customs, and it was expensive. And I tried it a few times, and I don't know, it just didn't seem right to me. Well, when he tried Latril against my cancer cells, it did nothing. It didn't work. So I really say to people, go with your intuition a lot of the time. You know, you can heal yourself in many ways with the help of doctors and naturopaths, but listen to what your body's saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. People need to, but we've lost the ability to listen to ourselves and what we need. That's the truth. You're right. And that's what it comes down to. So it's a combination. You work on the emotions, you work on the physical part. And what's very, very interesting is here your diet, which is not a vegetarian diet, so it's a meat-based diet. And then you're telling us about the fermented soy, which again, you know, this goes contrary to women who have cancers with hormone-driven issues. I mean, and yet here you are healing. See, so the point I want people to understand, and you're bringing out very, very well, is that when you do everything that you know that is right for your body, and when you are dealing with emotional issues all at the same time, your body does heal.
And
that's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, and one size fits all does not fit cancer.
Right, right. There's a question here, Gemma, that I think is a real good one that I'd like to address. Here, the guest is asking, are you continuing all of the remedies that you started with? And what checks are you doing now to be sure the cancer does not return?
Okay, no, I've tried things along the way and decided not for me anymore. Like vitamin C, I think that was fantastic for my recovery. But now that I've got the Halen, I'm doing the Halen and I've backed off the vitamin C. I mean, plus it does come down in some ways to financial. None of these things are cheap. And
yeah.
Australia, even though I have the highest medical cover, it doesn't cover anything that I do, whether I do it at a doctor's surgery or not, that's not conventional. So sometimes I have to make choices. And I've made the choice with the Halen, so I've backed off on the vitamin C. There's things that I will not give up. I will not give up vitamin D and, you know, going out in the sun. I will not go back to dairy. I'm very vigilant about that. I mean, when I say very vigilant, I went to Paris and visited my daughter. She took me to a great restaurant, and I went, okay, this is about joy. I'm going to enjoy this restaurant, and I'm not going to ask them what's in it. But, I mean, that was a night. Most of the time, you know, but you've got to factor in, is my life going to be so disciplined, so vigilant on not getting cancer back that you forget to be joy? you forget to have the joy in your life, the very thing that maybe caused your cancer.
Right. Exactly.
So, you know, it's like everything's a balance.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so we figure out what remedies, and then what are you doing now? What checks are you doing to make sure that the cancer does not return?
Well, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I had this test, the Biofocus, literally a month ago when I was in Europe, and there was four sections to the test, and three of them were great. My fighter cells that were fighting and my immune system was fantastic. But, you know, if you took the number, say, two and under is what normal people walking around that don't have cancer would have those amount of cancer cells. And mine for endometrial cancer was 2.85. So it's slightly elevated. But you know what? I don't look at curing my cancer. I'm not there thinking that recovery is a goal. It's just a process. And, you know, people walk around all the time with diabetes and high blood pressure and maybe heart disease. When we hear that they've got those things, we don't go, "Oh, you're going to die," like we do when people say they've got cancer. So why can't I manage my cancer? Why can't we just say we're managing our cancer? Why does cancer have to be different from managing your high blood pressure? And I believe it's because that's what the drug companies want us to do. They want us to be fearful. And when we've got fear in our hearts, we are not going to get better. So, you know.
That's a powerful, powerful statement. When you have fear in your heart, you are not going to get better. That's the truth. That is truly something that people have to understand. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So don't see your cancer as an enemy, because it's in your body. If you can just look at it as not you against your body, but you working with your body to find out what was the root cause of this cancer, why have I got it, what do I need to do to change in my life, because there will be something to change. It might not be emotional issues for you. It might be a lifestyle. It might be chemical toxins. But if you sit quietly enough with it, if you really go inwards and listen to your inner voice, you will know what's going on. You will know if you need a greater connection to spirit. You will know if you need to change something emotionally. You'll know if it's your diet or not enough exercise.
So what are the tools that you're using to keep the stresses at bay, Gemma? Because I'm looking for a little bit something tangible, more specific for people that they could say, okay, here's the stress. Do you just say the same thing still, or are you finding that it's easier to handle the stress?
I use those mantras.
Tell
you something that just happened yesterday. I had somebody who's worked for me a long time, working in the garden and things. And when he first started, he really needed a car. He had a small he had a young family. His car broke down, and he didn't have enough money for a car. So what I did is I bought the car, and it was still in my name, not his name. But, you know, we paid the insurance, paid everything. And then suddenly he's decided to leave, which is fine. You know, he needs to move on. I've been a little bit of a hermit in my own life. It's time for both of us. But he left very suddenly, and he left me in the lurch, if you like. Now, the old me wanted to say, guess what? I'm not going to give him that car, because I know without that car, he's going to be having a big problem. And that was the negative me that wanted to pay back. I know this sounds like a small thing, but if you want something tangible. Mm-hmm. And then I had to listen to my inner voice and go, how much energy do you want to lose on this? How much energy do you want to give way to resentment and you know, being cross with him for leaving you in the lurch? You know he's got small children. You know he needs that car. And in the end, is that amount of money? Like, the car, you know, he's been with us for 9 years. The car's no longer a new car. And so once I just rang him and said, hey, listen, keep the car. You know what? It felt fantastic. I felt liberated. I could let go of that. I could think, okay, put that one away. He's happy. I'm happy. Move on. So a lot of it is becoming aware when you're going into the old story. Once you're aware, you can bring yourself out of it.
Do you want the shadow always in front of you, or do you want the shadow behind you and the sun shining in your face? Because we can live with the shadow in front of us, and we're always in the dark side of the shadow, or we can have the shadow behind us. It's always there, always wanting to make itself evident, but we can decide to let the sun in. We can decide to have a shiny life. You know, it's not that hard to make the decisions. Okay, yesterday was niggled at me, niggle. But then I made the choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I have to do all the time. I'm not saying I'm in joy all the time. But when I see that I'm going down the old road, the old patterns, I have to pull myself out of it. I have to make choices. I have to drop things. And we can drop things. A doctor said to me when I first got sick, you need to resolve your emotional issues around your marriage. And I said, that's easier said than done. And he said, is it? And he picked up a book and he goes, you know what? I really don't want to keep holding this book, but I don't know what to do. I don't know how to let go of it. And then he just dropped the book on the floor. And he goes, oh, that's right. I just let go. I choose to let go. Let go of it, Gemma. You know, and I thought, yeah, he's got a point there.
Spoken like a true Australian. That was great. That's a perfect example. Somebody, one of the guests, and we're just going over a little bit because we did start the program a little bit late, and Gemma's just got gold nuggets that you're dropping in our lap, and this, I'm just hanging on to every word because these are things I've been saying for years, and here you are saying it, but you had cancer and then you healed, so this is very exciting. There's a question here from one of the guests who's asking, where did you do your research to determine all of this information that you have?
Okay. I have to credit that a lot with my daughter. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know this sounds a bit woo-woo to people, but before you start doing your research, ask your guides. They're all around you. You know, it's not going to hurt. Ask your guides to guide you. I mean, Archangel Gabriel is the guide of wisdom, clarity, and knowledge. Just ask for her help or his help or whatever. And then sit down and get on the net and punch in things. Go to my daughter's blog. There's a lot there. There's everything I did there. And, I mean, you know, some publishers in England have asked my daughter to turn the blog into a book, which she's madly doing now. So, you know, go there and then she'll give you links. I mean, cancertutor.com. I mean, there's you, Judy. There's Dr. Judy. There's, you know, you go from one, and then something will resonate with you, and you'll go to another link. Bill Henderson, as you say, he's got a great
mm-hmm.
book. I bought dozens of books. Plus, another great thing to do is get DVDs. I found them empowering. One for me was Cancer is Curable Now, Healing Cancer from the Inside Out. Renegade Health is a blog that I subscribe
mm-hmm.
to. He did Cancer World Summit. You know,
mm-hmm.
get into Google and put, you know, DVDs. You'd watch them, and it really, when you see these people that have healed, yeah, I can do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the point you're saying, though, Gemma, is that as you're doing all this research, because the challenge is people call me all the time and say there's so much information, they're so confused, they don't know what to do, and so we set up a plan and sit down and figure out how to work the plan because they don't have the support. I mean, you have a wonderful daughter, and she encouraged you and your family and all that, and some people just don't have that kind of support, and they're really on their own, and it's sad to say, but that's just the way it is. So having the plan is very important, but I think the key point that you're saying that people need to pick up on here is that you still, no matter what the program is, when you wake up in the morning and you say, I don't know, does this feel right that I should be doing it today or not? Because sometimes it just gets to the point where you say, you know what, like you were saying with the vitamin C IV, it's enough, I'm done, I had plenty, and it did its job, and that's it. So you have to listen to yourself, and that's the key that people are missing and that you're really pounding into us and say, listen to what's inside of you to know what you're supposed to be doing. If it feels right and you have peace about it, then do it. If it doesn't feel right and it's just not comfortable, you're having something that's off about it, whatever it is, don't do it. there's plenty of other therapies that can be done for cancer that work just as effectively for you and your situation. And that's exactly what Gemma has been saying and sharing with us. So this is great. All right, Gemma, we are going to wrap up because we really aren't down to our last 2 minutes now. There are all kinds of links that she had mentioned. Her daughter has that on the website, mumsnothavingchemo.com, which is excellent. Your daughter really did an excellent job with the research and finding the links, and it's been wonderful. But you could also stay tuned with us, which is www.cancercleansecamp.com. And the recording will be up for a few days. We do take the recordings down because we are making room for all kinds of things coming up, and we just can't keep everything up. So that's the information. I am so happy that you were on it. I had no idea you were going to go and talk about all these things that were just gold nuggets tonight, Gemma. Thank you so much for sharing from your heart. Really appreciate it.
And thank you, Dr. Judy, for all the, you know, giving us all the opportunity and letting people know they can heal. And thank you, America, because nearly all my supplements, all my motivational speakers have all come from America. So that is pretty hopeless at all that. So thank you to America for being so clever.
Well, I don't know, because I know I was saying that before the show started that Olivia Newton-John started that clinic or that cancer center, didn't she? Was it a cancer prevention center?
Oh, okay, yeah. I haven't really. Sorry, I don't know.
Oh, you haven't heard about it? Oh, I'm telling you. That's funny. Yeah, she was. She made a big to do about it in the beginning of July that she's starting a cancer healing center. I think that's it's a preventive center in Australia. I'm not quite sure where. I'm pretty sure it's in Sydney, and was very proud of it because she, of course, is giving back from her having the breast cancer. But at any rate, Australia is doing some great things. We certainly are too, but it's just a matter of spreading the truth. So folks, please put this on Facebook, get the link, spread it around, get people on here so that they could hear this story, because this was truly one of the more powerful truths that we've heard tonight. And I really, really appreciate you opening up, Gemma. So you take care. God bless you. And we will be in touch with you again. I know that we will be staying connected. That's for sure.
Oh, that's giving me goosebumps. Thank you, Dr. Judy.
All right. Take care. All right. God bless everybody. Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.